Hi everyone, welcome to Girl Code.
Hello everybody, welcome back to a new stew.
A new stew, another stew, so many stews.
We're stew hopping.
Yeah, we really are. But we just finished recording with a very, very exciting guest. I honestly think this is one of my favorite episodes so far.
I love when we say that.
No, truly, like, so we had Jane on from, she's the CEO and owner of ShowPro, and she was also just a shark on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
But it was just so interesting hearing her story, and I feel like she gave some really good tips.
I feel like everyone will be able to take some good tidbits from this episode, yeah. Whether it's productivity, starting a business, even just listening to where Jane has quote unquote failed, you know, in business and how she has grown and overcome that. And also love hearing how people doubted her and how she's kind of like sticking it to them indirectly now. But I think it's a really inspiring and great story.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, Jane. So I feel like we'll probably just take it back to the beginning. Tell us how you got to where you are today.
So I actually used to be an accountant and I just hated my job. But I didn't even realize at first because I started working. I got a cadetship at one of these big accounting firms. So it meant that I was like working part-time. I was working full-time, uni part-time. And when you're 18 and all of a sudden you have this like permanent full-time salary and you're, it's just like, I was just having so much fun going out, having a salary, wearing a suit. I used to get really excited about wearing a suit. And then also like work was then co-ed. And I was like, oh, great. Because I went to a girl's school. So I was just like so distracted by work being fun that I didn't even realize for like around 3 years that I actually hated accounting. And even when I was going for the job, I didn't even know it was an accounting job. I was like, I just want to go work in this big company. And then somewhere during the interview process, I was like, oh, what is accounting? Yeah. Okay, we'll just wing it. Anyway, so I was an accountant and I just like realized at some point that I hated it. And then a friend of mine came to me and was like, let's start a business. And it like, when we, so basically I was like, yeah, whatever. Like I was just excited to do anything. And at this point, like no one really had businesses. I knew like maybe one guy. Like, so it was such a long time ago. It seemed really random, but I was like, that sounds so exciting. Let's do it. So we started this side hustle running pop-up stores. And so we had a pop-up store, in the art house in the city. I don't know. Like that was, this is probably ahead of your time.
Okay. Wait, what year was this?
This is 2010. Right. So the outhouse used to be like cool back then.
Okay, so like a club?
It used to be a Saturday. Yeah,
I'm trying to set the scene.
Oh my god, I'm so old. It used to be a club that we go to on Saturdays. Right. I think maybe even like it was cool. Like it was coming off the end of it being as cool as it was.
But right.
Maybe like a few years ago, it was like it was all the rage.
But still cool enough.
It was still cool enough. But it's next to Pitt Street Mall, so it's it would get great foot traffic. And the idea was that, because it was quiet during retail hours, we could set up these pop-up stores. So we get cheap rent, and then we would bring them like customers, because people will come in and it's an experience. You buy a drink, maybe you'll eat, and maybe you'll shop. And then also because it already had a great brand that people were like, oh, there's a pop-up at the art house. It wasn't just like there was a random pop-up.
Bit of street cred.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we opened one here in Bondi as well on Campbell Parade. So, you know, we were getting some traction. We weren't really making good money. It was like break even, but it was like, it was still like, I felt the excitement of how cool it was to create something and to actually talk so passionately about something. So we did that for maybe like, I think like 9 months. And then my business partner kind of convinced me in a way, but I think I secretly did want it as well, like to just quit my job and work on it full time. And at this point it was so risky because, and it honestly wasn't the best decision because the business wasn't actually making money. And I think everyone should like, you know, at least try and validate the business model. And the business model was clearly not validated at this point. But then I was just like, effort. Like, I hate my job.
Yeah. Did you have a gut feeling? Like, you just felt, or were you just like, I just hate my job?
I just hated my job. It was also in the middle of the global financial crisis. So people were starting to like get fired. And I was like, oh, they quit before they fired me.
Get in early.
Because I was honestly so bad at my job. Like, I really am not a good accountant. And then so, yeah. And I just one day I was like, you know what? I'm going to quit. And yeah, I did it. And then when I resigned, I spent that whole month. I didn't even realize I didn't have a strategy at the time, but then I thought, you know, the one way that we can just kind of supplement the income is to build an online store. So because the pop-up store was only open on like two days a week for each store, so like only 4 days of the week, only within these limited hours. I mean, I don't need to tell you how retail works, but it was like I realized it was limiting at the time. It still felt like that was a, you kind of had to explain those things. This is such a long time ago. And then so I thought, let's why don't I build an online store? And it felt really like quite rogue these days, like quite random and a bit rogue back then, because it wasn't common.
Was this MySpace era?
After MySpace, okay. But the only reason I had any confidence that I could do it, it was because I had a pretty good MySpace page. Like, I had slideshows, I had music.
Right.
You know, I put
She can build a website.
I put in a bit of time.
Yeah.
Okay, do you guys remember GeoCities or Angel Fire?
No,
that was, okay. That's, I'm a different era. But that was also, we built these, like, GeoCities HTML websites back in high school.
Oh my god, that's
anyway,
cool.
No, it was like so stupid. Just we like had... like little blogs that you had to like build yourself. They weren't like ready made templates,
right.
I guess.
Right.
But then sorry, what was I? And then so basically I spent the whole month building this website, taking photos of everything in our warehouse, and we had like 50 products in our warehouse at this point. No, sorry, 50 products, 50 design, different brands. So like over 500 styles.
Wow.
So taking photos of everything, building this website. And then when I went to show my business partner, after a month of working on this, she turned to me and she said, Jane, I'm over this business. I don't want to do it anymore.
Oh. And you had quit your job.
I had quit my job. And she wasn't working at the time. So she's like, I've actually been job hunting. Like secretly, and she's
fake friends.
You guys were friends before this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we actually worked at KPMG together where I was working corporate. We went to uni together.
Wow.
We actually turned out we went to high school together, but we didn't know each other. She was near above me, but yeah, so we like, and we, you know, she was one of my closest friends at the time. Yeah, and she's like, I don't want to do it anymore. And I was like, trying to convince her, and I'm not a very like strategic person in terms of like I can articulate the strategy. I think it's all in there somewhere, but it's like it's a bit of a mess, and I just kind of like go and do it and figure it out afterwards. So I couldn't articulate why. Like I was like, just look at the website. I feel like this will help the business. Not thinking that it would be the business. I was just like, you know, it'll just give us some extra income while we focus on retail. You know, that's where my head was at that point. And she just said, look, Jane, no one shops online. And then she decided to like close the business down. Well, actually, I didn't have the confidence to do a business by myself, so we had to close the business down.
I wonder what she's thinking now.
That's what I was gonna say. Are you still in contact?
I have seen her since then, and she's like really nice and like she's quite nice about it.
Has she ever said, "I regret saying that"?
No. I think she's.
She definitely would.
Every night, like before bed, I'd be like, "God damn,
yeah,
why did I do that?"
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. So previously, you know, I had everything that I had been working towards. Like, because like, I mean, I have a very like academic background and, you know, my parents and I immigrated from China together. Oh. So they kind of like did everything for me. Like we immigrated to Australia together when I was 8 for me so that I could. And it's just that path of like, I don't know, that it's the immigrant child's path. Where
lawyer, doctor.
Yeah. All you do is like in high school, no, sorry. Even in like primary school, it's about getting into a selective high school. Right. And then at high school, it's all about getting a UAI. And then the UAI is to get into university, and that's to get a job. And then I was doing all of that perfectly, and I had the like our
the
dream job.
Job. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Big
corporate,
in a big corporate
suit.
And it was all like financial security. And part of why I think I quit my job initially was the fact that I started looking at that financial security. Like instead of looking at my job as, wow, I have financial security, I realized that because I hated accounting, that I started looking at it as a prison sentence. Like I don't want 40 years of hard time in accounting. So I was like, I can't do that. So then, but then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, what did I just give up? Because all of a sudden I threw away my dream job. I had invested into that business all the money I had earned by this point.
What age were you at this point too?
I was 20, like just turned 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then,
that's so scary.
And yeah. And I was, oh my God, I can't believe I've got this part. And I didn't tell my parents I quit my job. because no. I couldn't
the
tell.
Reaction.
I could not tell them that I just threw everything away. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, in my head, I was like, you know, I'll just like, all I wanted to do was to make enough money that was enough as my corporate income. And then I can tell them, because I can be like, look, at least I'm doing something that I'm happy, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
But then when that business failed, I was like, oh, that's, what am I going to do? So I was like, it was rock bottom. And it was also because it was in the middle of the global financial crisis. I couldn't just go get another job.
Oh my God.
And then I left my previous work in kind of a salon suckers kind of way. I'm
I've
like,
got a better job now. Bye, guys.
They're not going to hire me back. And I was like,
you're like,
oh,
please
Christ.
Take me back.
So then I was like in such a rut. And then so, you know, I think I reached out to like one friend that I knew that had a business. That was like the only person I could turn to. And I think I was secretly trying to get a job from him because I'm like, you know, I could learn from you. Also like, hopefully just someone give me a job.
Anything.
Yeah, anything. And then he kept being like, oh, I have a friend that wants to start a online fashion business. Why don't you go meet her? I'm like, no, you're palming me off. Like, that's, don't palm me off. And then he's like, just go. And I'm like, oh God, I have no other choices. So I just went along thinking like, this is not going to turn into anything. But then we like hit it off straight away. And just this random girl I just got introduced to, and we instantly hit it off. And then a few times after meeting, after a few glasses of red wine, we started Show Pony, which is what Show Pony was called back then. It was just, wow. It just like, all of a sudden, it just happened. And at first I was like, you know what? Like, I don't think I should be starting a fashion business or a retail business because I obviously suck at it because I failed. But then like now with hindsight, I'm like, no, actually, you've just done the best crash course in business possible. Like, for to have invested $10,000 and 9 months of your life, that's actually cheaper than a lot of like those masterclass courses that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's not a lot of money, trust me. I was like very devastated.
Yeah.
But actually it is compared to university.
Yeah, school fees.
Yeah, it was actually the best investment. So with hindsight, it's like actually sometimes like some of those worst times will like lead to, you know, some of the best decisions and best times.
Definitely.
In life. Yeah.
When you,
that was a really long winded way of getting there.
No, we love like, the details. Yeah, yeah. All the details. I wanted to know, so you had the first retail business, right? Did you carry the stock over from there to Show Pony, or what was the...
No, the stock was like all... Because the stock was all completely random, because basically we found our suppliers by just going to like Paddington markets, Bondi markets, and just handing out these business cards being like, would you like to stock with us? And just trying to make ourselves sound like much bigger than we are. And then so we managed to get quite a few suppliers, brands to stock with us because they're small emerging labels looking for a stockist. And so we managed to get all the stock on consignment, which meant that we didn't have to pay for it after it sold, which meant that once the business folded, we just send it back to them because we didn't actually pay for them for the stock, which is actually one of the great things that I learned to even start ShowPro, because that... When I look back, there were so many lessons learned along the way. And one of the things was what consignment meant. And I did learn that from my business partner, her approach of saying, let's just go and approach people for consignment because we don't have enough money to buy stock. And we also don't really know the right stock to buy. So let's just put it out there and see how we go. And then so for ShowPro, when we first started, we managed to broker a deal with our first supplier where we actually bought the stock in consignment.
Right.
So that's how I was able to.
Actually, genius.
Yeah. At this point, I was like $60,000 in debt because of like a bunch of uni debt. I had to pay back the job that I quit because like they gave me this allowance that I spent. Anyway, so then I had no money, but then I remember what consignment was. So I think and then other things that I learned was like even when we had. For this pop-up store, we were just taking any stock, right? So we had, in terms of like, and we had homewares, we had accessories, but in terms of clothes, the price range was around like $50 to $350. Like that's such a wide range. It's probably too wide for any store to like, when you try to cater for everyone, you're catering for no one.
Yeah.
But then found that, you know, $70, $60 sweet spot, of where people were really like able to just come in and just like buy something that they want without thinking too much about it. And mm-hmm. that became the sweet spot that, you know, carried forward to Shopo.
Did you tell your parents at this point?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When did they find
no,
out?
No, at this point, I was still just getting up every morning super early, which, like, I'm just not, as we were saying before the podcast, I'm like, I'm so not a morning person. Yeah. So getting up and just putting on my corporate suit, like a full, mm-hmm. like, black, you know, work
sending
suit
a
or
selfie
pinstripe.
To mom.
No, well, I lived at home at the time.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and so
you would leave and pretend you're going to work.
Yes, and I'm an only child, so it's like, I feel like you get a lot more attention when you're an only child. Like, and my mom also worked in the cities. So I used to get the bus into the city with her. Oh, so wow. I couldn't even go to the park or a cafe or just like go for a walk. I had to actually go all the way into the city with her.
Oh my God. So you like cosplayed kind of having
yes,
a job.
Yes.
Okay. So at what point did you tell them?
So I officially told them 2 years later, but okay. So they knew I started the business.
Yeah.
A new business. They thought it was a side hustle again.
Yeah.
And then after a year, I told them that, I didn't tell them anything. I just, my boyfriend at the time moved down from Brisbane. So I just like moved in with him. I showed up with all my stock, all my clothes. We never had this, like, let's live together talk. We just like, I just showed up with, I'm here now.
Honey, I'm home.
I need to leave.
Exactly.
I got to stop putting my suit on in the morning.
Yeah.
The bus.
And then even like a year later, I even then used their garage to start the business, to really grow the business. But at that point, I told them that I was on unpaid leave mm-hmm. with the corporate job, just so they still think that there is that financial, like there's still that job backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I just can't believe, like, even at that time, I feel like I didn't have the confidence to even fully tell them. It was even 4 months after I got the office. Like, I actually signed an office lease.
Oh, which, my gosh.
Yeah. I think they probably knew, but I officially
told them yeah.
and then told them, when I told them, I was like, you know, I told them the full lie. Mm. And then they were like, wow, I can't believe you've been doing this for a whole year. I'm like, no, 2 years.
Yeah.
So even the bus, you fully fessed up.
Yes.
Wow.
But at the time, and then when I did tell them, I told them that I was buying them a car and I was going to pay off the mortgage. I don't think I did it. Then I was like, I'm able to do this for you, like, very soon.
Yeah,
so how long, when you started Show Pony, how long did that take until you, like, oh, this is really going to be something? Or did it go off straight away?
No, it was a bit of like a, so in the first after 6 months, we had some like green shoots of success. So we did this like Face of Show Pony competition, and I was watching America's Next Top Model, and I was like, oh my God, we could do like a competition like this where people can vote, because they had this audience favorites feature for the first time ever, where everyone could vote for who they liked via Facebook. And then we started doing it. And then we ended up getting, we went from 3,000 followers to 20,000 followers on Facebook within the space of a month for free, which back in 2011, that's
insane.
Like insane. Mm. And I think it also for like, back then people weren't that trusting of online stores and online shopping. So it gave us like a lot of credibility, which was really good. But the biggest thing was that it actually taught me what going viral online meant, the power of social media. Like before I thought it was just like, I don't know. It was at that stage where I wasn't even taking it that seriously myself. Mm-hmm. So that really helped. And that saw us getting some really great sales. But then it just really started to slow down. So I had this business partner, but we actually went separate ways after a year and a half, because the business was just not doing that well. We were making like in the month that she left, we made $5,000.
Right.
So that's like one or two orders a day, which is like really, it's not that much of a business for the two of us to have been working a year and a half into it. She had her own successful business anyway, so she went off and continued doing that. Mm-hmm. And then the next month when I was doing it by myself, it was like magic. And I don't know how. Like, I mean, I do know how, but like,
it's you.
But no, I think it's the fact that like, it's this or nothing.
It has,
you know,
to work.
And I
threw yourself into it basically.
Such a big fear of failure that like, I was like, okay, the first business failed, this failed. If we fail now, everything would be my, it would all attribute back to me. Like, you know, I would be the common thread between the two businesses failing. And it's that. And then also the fact that, like, I think when, you know, I think doing it by myself, I was able to, like, kind of take a bit more risks because it was just me that I had to answer to. Like, if I made the wrong call, I didn't have to feel bad that it's, you know, that I was doing something wrong for my business partner. I was risking our combined money.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, just, let's just, I'll just do it. I'll just try it. And I was able to just act quicker. And so, you know, we just started doing, like, literally everything and anything. And I think actually investing just even more money into it. And I think sometimes, like, a lot of businesses get stuck where they're like, just don't put more into it. And it's hard to invest more money into it when it's doing so terribly. But then I think actually just doing everything 20% better just saw, like, exponential growth. So from that 5,000, the next month we made $9,000. Wow. Like, we almost doubled. And then the next month, 40,000, and then 75, and then 140. So just to have, like, a $5,000 a month business to making, like, $1 million runway within 6 months was just like, that's holy
crazy.
Shit.
Crazy.
Wow. And I was still by myself at this point.
Oh my God. You must have been so just, proud that you, like, yeah. That $140,000 a month would have been just so insane.
It was insane.
So what did you do? Like, were you just posting more?
Yeah, so I was posting more on social media. Yeah. I had actually a store in Pittsburgh, Westfield at the time as well. So that's kind of like where that was became a little bit of a cash cow. It was literally three racks of clothes, like in the bottom basement of the city, Westfield.
Wait, I think I know where they have all those, the pop-ups and stuff. Yeah, down the
that was like that's how crazy. I got the money to invest. That was such a little cash cow for us. It was probably like profiting like $3,000 a week, which from zero was like, I was like, wow. So I was using all of that money to invest back into the online business, in started doing Google ads. Like, this is, we weren't even doing Google ads before this, putting more money into Facebook ads. Cause before this we were putting $50 a day in Facebook ads. So just like investing more in everything, got rid of the, removed the free, the shipping threshold, which at the time it was just a bit scary to do without, like, you know, cause it's more common now, you know? So, yeah, just doing a, doing kind of like best practice of everything.
Right.
You know, back then we were still like handwriting notes, doing like the very personal touch. I remember once we were just so busy, I had to get my mum to stay home from work to help me write thank you notes. Aww. And then, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my God, mom, your English is wrong. Like, you've just written it all in, like, Chinese broken English. And I'm like, no, rip them. We have to rewrite them. I can't, we can't send.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, it was, and then I remember days when we would drive to the post office and to a post box, and then it's full. So I have to drive down to another post box. Just like,
so it was just you this whole time too.
Yeah.
When did you hire someone, or when did you know it was time to hire someone to come on board?
Yeah. So I was really slow to hiring because I was just, so we did have people at the store, that we hired. And at this point the girl stole from the store, and I just,
they stole from the store.
Yeah. And I was just like, the fact that you're stealing from, like, not that you should steal from anyone, but you're not stealing from a big company.
Small business, yeah.
This is a small business where I'm coming in and I'm collecting the cash, and you see me, like, working so hard. My parents are there helping. So I just was really, like, a bit burnt from that. Yeah. And it made me a bit slow to hire someone for the online store. And then also, in order to hire, you have to put in processes. And when you're so busy, the last thing you want to do is slow down and put in processes. But that's the first thing you need to do in order to start working on the business, then in the business, or to, like, not burn yourself out if you're trying to do both. And so this is so stupid, but the only reason I was able to do that, the main reason I started hiring someone was because we had this trip planned to go to Ultra Music Festival in Miami.
Slay.
And yeah. I was like, and that's the thing, at the time we booked it, the online store was like, if it's making 5K a month, like, that's two orders. I'm like, my business partner, I didn't think we were separate. Like, she could do it, not a big deal. And I was, had the money from the little, like, store in Pittsburgh Mall. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, guys, I was telling my friends, I'm like, I can't go. They're like, what do you mean you can't go? You have to go. And I'm really, like, I have a really rubbery elbow? Arm? What's the saying?
Rubber arm.
Rubber arm.
Yeah. I get convinced easily.
Yes. And then I have FOMO. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. Okay. Fine. I'll hire someone. So I got someone who was working in the store to come in and started working on the online business. And she was literally coming to my parents. So while I was away, she would come into my parents' garage and like start working away on the online business. And when I came back, and that forced me to put in systems and processes. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, I was like, wow, like definitely things went wrong, which is what people are afraid of in terms of handing over things. But I'm like, but we still grew. Mm-hmm. That was that month we were like doing 75,000 a month. Wow. And the month before the 140. So we're like, okay, we still grew. And the little mistakes that happen, like that's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. If you want to keep growing, you have to keep like hiring and delegating. Yeah.
How did you go from show pony to show po?
Oh my God. This is actually a really, really, really stupid story. So when we started the business, we just like didn't check.
Oh, trademarking.
That's the simple answer. We did not check, and we just didn't think the business would be as big as it was. And I also just kind of got bogged down by admin with the first business partner, because she, with the pop-up store, that business partner, she didn't trust Gmail. And not in terms of like when, you know, people talk about privacy as an issue. She didn't trust like that the things wouldn't disappear. This
it's
is 2010. I mean, this is a girl that didn't think people could shop online either.
Okay, right. She's a bit behind technologically. She's a bit behind.
And okay. Like, so yeah, exactly. So she wanted us to, with our email to our supply, to the brands that we were working with, we would print them off and file them into a folder.
No.
And so
immediately no.
Exactly. And there was all this like trademark and blah, blah. And I was like, you know what, with this business, I kind of went too far the other direction. I was like, we're just going to go and just going to do it.
Full steam ahead, not checking anything. That could be fine.
No responsibilities.
Exactly. Until we started doing well. And then I think it was probably 2 years into the business.
Did you get an email?
No, we started growing. Thank God. we started growing more in America. Because, you know, Facebook is like global. And then we realized that there were already show pony stores. They weren't trademarked, but I think because of like, not to get technical, because of common law, like just because they were in existence, it is still quite like debatable who has rights to it. And there were stores with the name pony in it. And just like with how litigious the US is, I was like, it's just like, it's too risky. We're good at marketing and branding, so we can always rebrand, but we're not good at law. And like, so we're like, let's just stick to what we're good at and just look at rebranding. And it took 3 months to think of names. We thought of some really, really, really terrible names.
What was a bad one? Can we have an example?
Okay, this is my general manager at the time. Okay. She came up with Dizzy Thrills. Oh.
Dizzy Thrills?
It's kind of like Dizzy Rascal.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I'm getting.
Dizzy Rascal.
And then we had like Hello Pretty.
Oh,
no. I know.
Hello Pretty's not as bad as what Dizzy Thrills.
I feel like there's a Hello Pretty out there.
I know. It kind of sounds like a combination of other brands that are out there, which we didn't know at the time. It was just like mixing words together. Yeah. I mean, that could be how other people think of their names.
Just the generators.
We just, after all of that, we just went like, let's just drop the NY.
Yeah.
People make up names cute all the time.
Yeah. Show Pony's great.
It's a good name. Yeah.
And now it's great because we were at the time showponyfashion.com. Like, it's long. Now we have the unique domain, the unique Instagram handle. The Instagram handle, some girl in France had it, and we were like, please let us buy it from you. And she just said no. And then one day she goes, here, you can have it.
Wait, what?
She didn't ask for money. She's like, have it.
I bet she regrets that now. She's probably all these people are just regretting their decisions.
No, it's so random. But yes, thank you.
Thank you so much,
lady in France.
Yeah. But it's actually such a great, again, see, not intentionally strategic, but strategically a great move, because I feel like if we stayed as Show Pony, it kind of like there's a certain connotation to that name and would have limited us more to a certain type of like clothing, because we started off selling more just party clothes. And now we are like, we do cover a lot of occasion wear, mm-hmm. but it's also like day, party, formal, and a lot of like basics and casuals as well. Whereas like if we stayed as Show Pony, I feel like it would be more limited to a party category, and it also sounds quite young as well. So it actually allowed us to kind of like recreate what the brand is. So Sounds strategic, but it wasn't intentional.
A happy accident.
Exactly.
I feel like you've kind of touched on like the things that went wrong, but is there anything else, like failures or lessons that you've learned along the way that you think were like, yeah, I'm like glad that actually happened?
I have a funny story I thought of, but I don't know if it just seems like random.
No, tell us.
It's just the first thing that came to my mind. I haven't even thought about this for a long time. Yeah. But we were doing this competition like back in like five years ago, and it was we were giving away like a ride to Melbourne Cup before it got cancelled. Don't worry, guys. and it was on a private jet, and it was with this like bougie company that was offering this deal.
That's so cool.
And so they were like comping it if we were like, and it was like a collab. And we did a little shoot and got content, and we were pushing it, and that was like really exciting. And it was worth $13,000.
Wow.
And then once we did announce it, there was a miscommunication between our teams on who was announcing it. So they announced it and we announced it. And then their CEO got on the flight to go to Miami for a Bucks, which is like the longest flight from Australia, and was out of, this is before there was internet on planes. And so we just both announced it and had to both honor that prize. So then we had to pay an extra $13,000 from that little mistake. But then what the worst part about that is, the person that got the extra prize, she went on the, we watched her Insta stories. She didn't even care about the private jet. I think the private jet for her was just like, get a Jetstar flight to the Birdcage. And then she was more like, it was more about being in the Birdcage which is where the May Melbourne Cup thing happens. So that's all she cared about. Like, we could have been like, would you like $1,000?
Yeah.
And then like this Birdcage thing, like we could have done that
without the jet. Oh my god.
And I was so that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Okay, what about flip side, what's been some of like the best days that have happened?
Best days. I still remember when we made more in a day than what my salary used to be.
Oh,
and that was
God.
Just such a pinch me moment.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
And so we just went to Tetsuya's and like, which is
celebrated.
Like, yeah.
Oh,
and
that I was, love that.
That was really nice. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is just like, I think having a team just to like share everything with makes everything feel really special.
Yeah.
I think the main like, I guess the main journeys of how the main milestones of like, I guess, growing it has been like finding people, hiring people into the business. And I think what we did at first is you hire like generalists, people who can do everything. And then you get to a point where you're hiring specialists and you're like, oh, wow, I'm hiring like adults. Like it feels like, you know,
like, when did I get here?
And I think it's like this like turning point of when you're hiring like, not to like downplay anyone's like careers, but there is a difference between I feel like someone with a family leaving their corporate job because they believe in your business to come and work for you. That was a huge kind of like turning point of like, it's weird that you kind of sometimes need someone else to believe in your business for you to believe in it.
Yeah.
So, but then that was like a big kind of moment of starting to hire like these professionals. Who don't always know what's best. I'm just not saying that, but that was a great moment. And then for so long that our goal in business was to get to like 100 mil, revenue.
That's just milestone. Wild, by the way. That's so crazy.
And we came up with that because we were trying to hire a CTO, who's a chief technology officer. And we went to a recruiter. And at this point, it was like a $25 million business, I think. And we were like, oh, we're looking for a CTO to help us do the tech, like build the website, build an app. And this guy was like, look, you're not going to be able to find a CTO unless you make him a co-founder, which basically is saying, look, little girl, like no one's going to believe in your business unless you give them equity. Like you're not going to get anyone great unless you give away equity because you just have this retail online business. Like,
God, I'm mad hearing it.
Yeah.
I'm
like, like they could be in this other tech business doing blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it by 2020. And so that was like, and that became kind of like our business goal for a while. And we almost got there at 2020, but then COVID happened. But then we got there just shortly after, so it was good. So that was like, yeah.
That's amazing.
100
million. Yeah, that's crazy.
Are your parents like, oh, you did it. Like, you did the right thing.
Well, kind of. Yes, they were really happy. They were really happy. But then for like, until I got pregnant, they were like, when are you having kids? When are you getting married? Right. So that was like, they still had something to whinge about. It was just like, stop working so hard. You should be having kids. It got to a point where like, stop working so hard. Like, I don't think my parents ever wanted me to like, work too hard. They weren't, they never pushed me too hard. They were like, I feel like they would call me like a free range Asian, which compared to like a lot of other Asian families that were like, you have to study, you have to do this, you have to get top of the marks. Like they were pretty chilled.
With managing, obviously this is an insanely huge business. Did you get burnout? Like, how did you manage this whole thing? And also you've got two kids.
Yeah, what's a day in the life?
Yeah, what's a day? Like, how do you stop burnout?
I work with my husband now. So that really helps to have someone that you really trust in the business, be able to. So I was just, honestly, I've only probably missed 2 days of work. Not because I'm not like, I just don't get sick very often. But then I got sick during COVID, missed work. And then this Monday, I was just like really, really hungover. And I missed work and my husband was able to carry on. And I was like, this is actually great. This is why you have a business. It's Monday leading to Black Friday and I'm just not going to show up. I'm just going to send a little message and be like,
sorry guys, not coming in.
and I'm hungover. That's it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, and I'm like, yes, that's why you have your own business.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's when you know you've made it. Yeah, exactly. Like, that to me is my dream. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. I can stay in bed
guys,
today.
I'm hungover, not coming.
Bye. And you don't, no excuses. I'm just hungover. So that was great. But, so we worked together, and it's he joined the business like 6 years ago, and at first, you know, I feel like everyone would be like, I can't work with my partner, and I thought the same thing. But we work, we still actually, I think our working styles are very different, which is why we work. That wasn't even your question. So what my days are like?
But actually, what's it like working with your partner?
Yeah,
do you guys clash?
We kind of clash in a way that like whenever he. Because he is so smart. When I used to get him to try and help me with my business before he officially joined, we would just end up having a fight. Not a fight. I'm like, you don't understand. He'll want to do it his way. He'll want to like, I like just to like throw things out there. And then like we find the strategy. Whereas he wants to like be very strategic. Like, which is actually great because now it's like if we both land in the same answer, like, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. But we kind of like, and now we've learned how to work well together, that, and that's taken some time.
6 years.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But, yeah, so a typical day, like it's, we've got two kids. So having to get up, early, depending on when the kids get up, which can be anywhere as early as 6:30, and it used to be 9. I don't know what happened. Something like, happened. It used to be great. Yeah, so deal with the kids. I mean, no, play with my lovely kids in the morning and make them breakfast and drop them off to daycare and stuff.
Deal with
them. I mean, and then I think just like I've one of the things that's really helped is like I've got an assistant this year, and so she's gonna love this. She's gonna love that. She got a mention. Hi, Caitlin. She loves your podcast as well, so she's gonna love this.
I love her name.
Yes. and then so yeah, I think just balancing between like managing. The best thing I do now is I don't manage anyone besides Caitlin. We had this head of people and culture that when we were interviewing her, I said to her, I was like, I'm not good at managing people. So I would really love if you could just like coach me in this. And she said, Jane, it's your business. If you don't like managing people, then why would you do it? And I was like, wow.
Light bulb.
Amazing. Yeah. And so we slowly just moved everyone off that I was managing. And now I don't manage anyone. And that's amazing. And that gives me a lot of time back. So a lot of what I do now is like in marketing, branding. I used to be more involved with product, but I feel like they're so well oiled now. So I'm just more towards the later part of the process, instead of the whole journey. And then the content, a lot, like being part of the content, which I just enjoy content creation. So that's I love that. And I've got my podcast as well, which I enjoy. Just love chatting to interesting people as well. So, yeah, kind of like every day, bit of a cliche, but every day is different. And we work from the office 2 days, work from home 3 days. And it's just such a nice balance to, like, you know, get shit done on some of those days and just have those social interactions as well.
Do you have any specific productivity tools that you use to run your business that you, like, can't live without?
Yes. So this sounds very, it's not nothing that sophisticated, but mm-hmm. I do time blocking using in my Google Calendar, which I just find so helpful. And just like taking that time at the end of every day to prioritize for the next day. Mm-hmm. So like, no matter how tired you are, like say if my kids wake up at 6 a.m., I'm too tired and I can't think, it's all done. And so you can just head straight into the day and you know what you're doing. And if something happens, like if a meeting runs over time, like you just know exactly. It sounds obvious, but I feel like sometimes like people don't have their shit together because they're just like, don't have it all mapped out. And this way, if something happens, I'm like, okay, this gets deprioritized. This moves to next week. This, I'm going to get someone else to do it. And that way I can just like prioritize and get done the important things that need to get done. And I think it's like, it's kind of like having that, you know how there's that matrix of like important, not important, urgent, not urgent. And just like, I don't actually manually do that. But in my head, I think of things, tasks like that to make sure that I do the big important things and not just always rush to the little urgent, you know, quick, like the little fires that you put out.
So now she's a shark.
Yes.
How did you becoming a Shark Tank investor come about? Take us back to the start.
Honestly, I just got a random email. Perfect. I couldn't believe it. And like even and I thought it was a scam because the producer, we joke about it because she wrote in the subject line Shark Tanks, which you know how like everyone's getting phishing emails now?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's not even. And
locked.
Yeah. And I hadn't heard of the production company. I mean, I don't really know the names of production companies. I'm not in the industry. So I was like, really? Like, and so I did look her up, but I wasn't sure. And then we jumped on the call and she was like, would you be interested? I'm like, yes. Like, of course. Like, without a doubt. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So it was a really cool opportunity. And previously I had been asked to like go on some like other shows, like, Celebrity Apprentice, and I was like, I just don't know about like losing because you know like because I'm trying, you know, I think if you actually have built a brand on being a business person, like you can't just like lose straight away, and you could lose because it's a TV show, you know, like and then so I was like, oh, so Shark Tank was perfect because you are a judge, you are already like portrayed as a authority figure in that space. And then also they asked me to go on like Celebrity Survivor, and then I was like, oh my god, there's no way. And my husband's like,
you should do that.
No, my husband's like, you can't even survive in the city, like how could you survive in the wild? There's just no way. So it was just a perfect opportunity. And it was and I the whole TV thing was a bit like scary, but I feel like it was an awesome crew. Like the production like the producers were like so true to their words with like what they were trying to do and how they edited everything, and they definitely like made me seem like good.
No bad edit
like you can't because I was like watching so much maths at the time as well. I was like, oh my god, so nervous.
Yeah.
How good is maths?
Oh my god.
I won't turn this into
a... I know.
You guys can see it. I was talking about it.
I know. Sometimes on my podcast, if I ask people what their guilty pleasures are, and they're like, reality TV show. And then we end up like going to a 10-minute maths chat and like, okay, this isn't actually going to make it, but we're just now talking about maths. Or like Real Housewives. But anyway.
Do you have any regrets from Shark Tank for any businesses you didn't invest in?
There were definitely like, I thought some great businesses were the laundry lady one. So she is, it's like Uber for laundry.
Great idea.
It's an amazing business, but she wasn't like, it was just, I mean, I don't know if I have regrets because I think just like that marketplace model is really hard and I don't know if I have the capacity and experience to really help it. But my husband used to work at Uber in strategy and planning. So in one sometimes I'm like, oh, he does have that experience, but I can't force him into, like, he left Uber, now I can't force him back into helping another marketplace. But that seemed like an amazing business. That's the Robert on that episode was like, she came in asking for $750,000. Also, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then he came in, he was like, that's not enough equity. That's not enough equity stake. So I'm going to offer you $1 million. So, I mean, I wasn't going to do that anyway. So it's not like...
Wow. How much did you end up investing?
So it'll be around like probably like towards 300K.
Wow.
Because some of the deals don't end up falling through due to due diligence because you have like an hour there to kind of like, so the pitches that you'll see 8 minutes on TV, they go for around 45 minutes to an hour and a half. It is quite long. And you're listening to like 7 or 8 pitches a day. So they're really long days. Mm-hmm. And the girls have to do their makeup first. So it's a really, really long day. Mm. So that's still like not enough time to really, really understand their numbers. You know, in terms of like looking at their financials, you want to see what the trend.
Yeah.
And like, as you know, there's just, it's not enough clarity. And I think,
this might sound a bit stupid because I'm not too sure. But does Shark Tank give you like a certain fund at all to be like, you can use this to make, because what if no one invests? What if the sharks are just like, I don't feel like it today. Or the cash is a bit tight.
No,
you know?
They unfortunately don't give us any money. That would be, I would love it. But yeah, no, like, they please. Don't. They don't. It's all our own money. But I think they do want serious investors and people who are excited about the opportunity to invest. So if you look at the people that they've chosen, like it is like everyone has an interest in like helping small businesses, working with businesses. I have my business group called Like Minded Bitches Drinking Wine, where it's about helping women in business. And you know, Davey does mentoring. He has a thing called Daily Mentor. Sabri, his business is, he prides on how many businesses he's helped grow through his agency. And then, you know, and same as Kat, and then Robert's already, he's got 15 years on the show. So I think they make sure they've choose the right people in the first place. Yeah.
No one's just going to be like, cash is a bit tight this week.
I'll invest in my own business, thanks. No one like that. But also, I think they do choose a variety of people because they also don't want everyone. I if everyone gets a deal, that's not going to happen because we're not going to.
Every single person.
Funds are limited. Yeah. But they do want to show like an array of like different types of personalities or like different stages of business, different types. They try it. It was really amazing, the variety of like, not contestants, entrepreneurs they got. Mm.
Did you ever get investors with ShowPro or was it completely self-funded?
It was all self-funded.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing about like, I think e-commerce businesses are probably a bit easier in that respect in terms of, and also fashion, because fashion has much smaller minimum order quantities than like beauty brands.
Yeah.
Where they're like 10,000 minimum. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to do it on consignment for those initial stages of stock and then just being able to like reinvest. But I mean, if we had investors, we probably could have grown faster. But I also think, God, that would be like, it would be a pain to have a boss as well. So,
yeah.
What would your, if someone was starting their own business who's listening, what would your biggest piece of advice be?
I think starting a business is a skill. So it is about like just going out there and doing it and then just getting better at it and just like really taking that time to like, if you make a mistake, if you know, to just think, what's the lesson here and how can I do it differently? And so I know that sounds obvious, but I don't think I even thought about it like this, but it's only when I look back with hindsight, like that first website for the first business that failed, that took me a month to build. And then when I was trying to build the ShowPro business, that took me, I built that website overnight because I already knew what to do and I knew what not to do. And so that, so from the moment we decided we were going to do open, start the ShowPro store with my, with that girl, we then built, I built that website that night. That weekend, we had a photo shoot because I already had the contacts. She had some contacts and then she found the supplier. And then within a week, we sold our first product online. And that was 2 months after my ex-business partner told me that no one shops online. So suck it. But anyway, but my point is everything, it is a skill that you learn and you get better at with practice, just like anything. So you don't, some people do get lucky and some people do wing it. Like I just interviewed Hi Smile on the podcast. Wow. They're going to make $1 billion in revenue this year. And I'm like, holy shit. Brilliant. And that's their first business. So I'm like, all right. Yes, you can be that. Some people are outliers, but don't beat yourself up if you're not, because honestly, like, it is just something that you get better at. So if you do something now, it doesn't work out, but you think about all the things that you've learned and then go, okay, with what I know, what can I do now? And sometimes it's a pivot into just doing something different, but maybe it's just doing what you're doing now, but better with the lessons that you've learned.
So you just get started. Don't wait until you're some business mastermind
exactly.
in your head to get started.
Because sometimes also, if you know too much, like it'll scare you.
I actually heard someone say that. It was like, if I knew how hard it was, I wouldn't have started.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so true actually with a business.
Yeah, exactly.
You could just start.
One step at a time.
Yeah. Okay. Like that's a good place to amazing. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so good. I feel so inspired.
I know. Thank you, guys.
Could sit here for hours just listening. Yeah. Like, want to know so much more. Aww. Let's do a part two.
Part two, for sure.
All right, everyone. So that's it for this week's episode.
We hope you guys have enjoyed this week's interview with Jane. She's honestly such a legend. I love her energy. Such a boss. If you would like to follow her or listen to her podcast, all her socials, we'll leave it in the show notes down below, but it's just @TheLazyCEO.
We hope you all enjoyed and we'll see you next week's episode.
See you next week.